Yeah, so today our conversation mainly evolved around first starting with the topic of what makes a great team. Like, how is actually the team dynamic so dependent on if people feel safe to really say what they love to do and talk about their needs? And then how moving through the discomfort that sometimes comes with that and with saying no to other things that you dislike. How this also opens doors to really establish a team where everybody is able to work in their zone of genius, and also how trust and different levels of trust play into moving through that discomfort. And then lastly, we touched a little bit about on spirituality and what spirituality means for us at Awaken. So it's a very rich episode. And we hope that you enjoy it a lot. All right. Welcome, welcome to our conversation today, Christy. How are you
Good to
doing?
be with you, Eve. I'm doing well. I've just been reflecting on the working genius styles. I read a book last year about that and feeling particularly grateful for our little team here at Awaken and recognizing how much we complement each other. And so I just woke up this morning grateful again for you and your sense of wonder and how lovely that is for me when I need to spend a lot of time in generating ideas and thinking about which ideas will work and which ones won't. And I just feel like being with you is always so grounding for me. You have this connection to wonder and awe. That is always a good reminder.
Oh, it's so beautiful that you say that because I think it's the first time working in this team for me that I noticed what happens when I really communicate my needs clearly. Because I remember one point last year, when you were asking me if I wanted to step up and do all this execution work and, take the lead on also guiding other team members. And as much as one part of me was very, felt very seen and acknowledged in my capabilities of doing that, another part of me was just like, oh, that's too much. I don't have the time. And I also don't feel this spark of like, oh, this would make me so happy. And so it was actually the first time that I was very clear on this is what I want to do, this is what brings me joy. And now seeing that there are other people who came onto the team and are like, I love doing the execution part. This is my strength. And seeing how our different needs and our different competences just like click and everybody's doing what they really enjoy doing and allows me to have so much space to be in my zone of genius, how you just called it. Because for me, this doesn't feel like work. It feels more like I can bring my ideas. I can, just be very creative and initiate things, but I don't have to be the one to maintain everything or to execute every little part of it. So it's, yeah, such a different experience of working.
Well, I love that. And I feel like that could even be our topic of conversation today is just doing what you love and how important that is. I had the funniest thing happen this morning at the bus stop. I dropped my kid off at the bus in Germany every morning, and there was another person there waiting for the bus. And I was just asking, what the news is, and the person told me that they had several job offers and told me about the different job offers. And with one of the job offers, one that they didn't even mention at the beginning, their eyes just lit up, their whole face lit up, their body lit up, and you could tell like they spoke a little bit faster, and it was so clear that out of the four job offers, there was one that had a lot more energy around it. And so I mentioned that. I said, "Oh, wow. Well, there's no doubt which one lights you up the most." And the person answered, "Yeah, but I need to do what's right. So I think I'm going to do part-time of each of two of the other jobs." And I thought, "Oh no. Oh no." And then the bus came and the conversation ended, but it just reminded me like the times that I've wanted to do what's right or had this feeling of obligation and I should. And it just reminded me to what extent my upbringing taught me very clearly, you should sacrifice yourself, especially as a woman, and especially in, I was raised in a very religious Christian home, and you should be sacrificing, you should be giving to others, you should be doing what others want you to do. And I could just feel that from her. But what struck me this morning in the conversation was how shocking it was to me, which surprised me because I lived that way most of my life. And so it's so interesting to me that you and I working on a team together, and you're noticing that you're able to say what you want and what you don't want. Even if it's a little sad, because it could have been like, well, sorry, I actually need this person and you're not part of the team anymore. I don't know, but I think being willing to give up something or give up possibilities because you really do what you love to do and you choose to speak that out and say it, it just inevitably leads to goodness. It leads to the right people showing up. It leads to things clicking. Leads to other people being able to do what they love, takes away so much resentment. I'm so grateful that you said clearly what you want and don't want. It's such a gift to the world to do that.
Yeah, and I think it also takes a huge amount of trust to be like, okay, even though it might be that rationally thinking, I might need this option because I should do this because I need to earn a certain amount of money, but then trusting and surrendering to whatever will be the result of this, however I will get out of this right now, the energy or my feeling says that this is not the path that I should go. And I think for me it was similar to or a different shade of what you just described, growing up in an entrepreneurial family where also I was kind of taught that I'm very privileged to be in the situation where I can have this amount of responsibility that comes with leading a company at one point. And first of all, I was taught to take like all different kinds of jobs and learn how it feels like to be in all these different kinds of settings. But then I also was constantly reminded of the responsibility that I would need to hold and that it's work is not about fun, but about like taking this seriously and executing the things that you need to do. And so when I observe myself in my daily life, sometimes I had a coaching, for example, with one woman that asked me, like, do you usually tend to do the things that you have to do or should do first? Or do you first focus on the things that bring you joy and energize you? And when I reflected on that, I was like, man, like, I always focus on the to-dos that I feel need to be done right away because that's the right thing to do. And then only after, if there is time over, then I would go to the things that actually would fill me with joy and bring me fun and energy. And just becoming aware of how I prioritize my tasks and what my focus goes on first also helped me to realize like what would be a good cycle for me? Like what would I like to do in the mornings when I'm in this certain energy, or what would I like to do when I'm in the afternoon? And just adapting these tasks to my way of working, to my style of working, just feels so much more liberating and ex actually also makes me a lot more productive, because I don't have this, you have to do, you should be doing this or that. But when I start the day, for example, with something that brings me joy, then I move through the whole day with a lot more lightness and a lot more drive. And that also has an effect on the other tasks that I now do in the afternoon.
As you're speaking, I'm noticing what's coming up for me is this interplay between our uniqueness and our need for community. Because as you're talking and you're saying like the things that bring you joy, and I've seen working with you like arranging things nicely and neatly in Notion with each task under its proper heading, just waiting to be checked off 4 months from now when the time comes. Like you're smiling just talking about it right now. And for me, looking at a task list or making lists and having things organized, especially far into the future with no, like, I don't see the spontaneity as clearly and things are nailed down. It just, ooh, I know it's needed, but like, can I please run away? Because I just want to be in my dreamy, like, I wonder what's going to happen next. What cool thing could come up? And so it's really cool that we each get to say what we love, because Awaken needs tasks organized neatly in Notion or in whatever system, but it needs things to have process flows and, you know, standard operating procedures and communication written down clearly so everyone knows what done looks like. And I'm just not the right person to organize those jobs because I would be crying every day if I had to do that. And so it's almost like the more we give ourselves permission to be unique and give ourselves permission to say, I love this. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is me. It can feel risky for sure. I can't tell you how many times I've just felt like, oh, I am the crappiest boss on earth. Like, I do not like telling other people what to do. Freedom of choice is one of my top values. And so you will not find me micromanaging people because I'm just like, listen, this is the result. How you get there, when you get there, what tools you use, couldn't care less. You figure it out. I just want it to look beautiful at the end. And that's not how everybody likes to work. And so I'm just recognizing that, you know, in 2023, I had so many moments of feeling like I'm just a really bad boss. I'm such a terrible manager. I'm just not good at this. I don't want to own a company. I don't want to be the CEO. This is not for me. And that's just not necessary. I feel like having a healthy team in place is what lets each person just say, this is what I love, and you're allowed to love what you love, and they're all gonna find their place in the family of things. Like if we're all the wild geese in the Mary Oliver's Wild Geese poem, we do have our place in the formation of the geese who are all migrating together. And each place is valuable and needed.
Yeah, I think two things that you mentioned especially resonated with me. First, that what was needed to arrive to this place where we're at right now, we had to go through the discomfort of, first of all, each of one being really honest about their needs and also their desires and sparks of joy, which takes the courage. But also, we had to go through this cycle of,
You want to say that again? Because it was.
yeah.
Do you want to start again with that? It was breaking up a bit. From my side, I
Yeah,
don't know for you.
I will start over with that part. Yeah, so two things that you mentioned especially resonated with me. The first one being that it takes a lot of courage to first of all understand yourself and then clearly communicating what your needs but also your dreams look like. But then also we had to go through this process of discomfort also of realizing, okay, now there is no one who's actually doing the things, and we had a little bit of chaos in between where we had to rearrange, and certainly people had to take over tasks that they were not super happy or confident about. But then it also allowed for this magical shift of attracting those people who would have the skills that we were actually missing at that point. And now forming a completely new union where everybody is really focusing on what they love and what they want to bring. And just also from this process, seeing how the energy shifted to us being really enjoying each other's company, but also being really effective on how we move projects. And then one thing that came up for me also while you were talking was this belief of mine that one teacher at one point planted into my head about my zone of genius, because she was actually putting it as a weakness. Because my zone of genius is having a million ideas and getting really excited about them and get other people excited about them too, and then starting to roll out things and just bringing those ideas to life. But what I always hated was being the one that had to maintain things, maintain systems, maintain a process over a long time. And so this teacher, she was like, Eve, you never can follow through with something. Like, you always quit. And this belief stuck so many years in my head that I was like, oh, I'm not a person that can follow through with things. I cannot maintain, you know, like, and that led me to, at some, like, in some part of my life, forcing myself to stay in something longer than I would actually have liked to, just because I wanted to prove to others that I am actually able to follow through. And so it's also really interesting how our environment can influence us in many different ways to not follow our heart and our desires, because we want to be seen as somebody who has a certain competence that just, yeah, is not what we're actually craving for or needing, for our own happiness and satisfaction.
Yeah, and that one voice that, I'm sure it was a teacher who had different values and a different way of being in the world, and maybe for that person, follow through and taking things to completion and maintenance is their zone of genius. But to project that onto you and to say people should be this way, or that there's a norm in what skill sets people should have, or that you should have them all. That's something worth shaking up. The other thing that came through in what you were saying is this trust in the universe, or I don't think you use that word. I don't know if it's trust in God or trust in life and trust in the way things are meant to be that makes it okay to move through discomfort. Things don't always have to be like, oh, this is working great. We all love each other. Things are wonderful. You can go through stretches of confusion and annoyance and resentment and regret and anger and all those things. And they're there for a reason. And underlying it all is this really known sense that things are meant to work together for good in the world, and we do have our place. And yeah, when things are difficult, it can just be a signal to us of what needs to shift, what needs to change, because I don't think we're meant to move toward suffering and hard times. It's like life will serve them up for us on a silver platter, but it's not that we need to stay there. It's more of a sensing into it and what is wanting to emerge from this hard time that we're going through, and what opportunities are available. That reminds me of one of the coaching models we teach at Awaken Coach Institute. My teacher, Alan Seal, developed it, and it's called the DISCO method, where whatever the size of whatever drama you're going through is also the size of the opportunity that's available. And so when we do go through this, like, I'm going through a depression, or I'm going through a, there's anger flowing through my system a whole lot, to pay attention and to say, okay, the size of this discomfort right now is equal to the goodness and wonder and love and what's meant to happen that's waiting once we move through it. And to just keep that underlying trust that things are evolving in toward the positive, toward the good of the world, and to move with that force. As much as we can. And sometimes in confusion, you just don't know, and you don't do much of anything until things do become clear. And I feel like what I really love about being with you, Eve, is that I sense that you really remember that a good chunk of the time. And when I'm with you, you remind me of wonder and awe and goodness and beauty. And that things are moving the way they're meant to be moving.
Yeah, I think the trust part has been such an important path for me over the past few years, because I realized, like, when my dad became so sick when I was younger, there was such a deep distrust into life. There was like my foundation of trust was shaken so heavily that I barely felt safe in environment. So I tried to control my environment by creating so many things, like choosing a university degree that would bring me a safe job with safe payment, with like all these little things that I was trying to do to create a stable and safe environment. But then I became so unhappy and almost like depressed, and my spark of life and my joy of life was just like diminishing every day. And when I was able to turn that around and start following my joy again and start trusting and really focusing on my root chakra and how to ground myself, how to establish the sense of being held by Mother Earth, and to always be able to ground back to into that. This is when I noticed so many things changing in my life. And nowadays, trust for me has so many different layers. Like, there is this trust in the universe, or in that everything will be all right, or will naturally change into a way that is then a comfortable state again, because there are these currents of comfort and discomfort, and it's just an evolution. But then there's also this unshakable trust in myself that I really was able also to foster and strengthen through our coaching, for example, in you trusting me more and trusting more into my capabilities to hold myself, to ground myself, to center myself, and to move through all the challenges, with grace. That helped me immensely. And now I'm actually also learning to trust into others the same way, to, instead of taking over so much responsibilities for things that are not my responsibility, to give this responsibility back and to trust the other, to also be so strong, so confident, so competent that they can actually take care of this for themselves. Like, and it's so funny because for me, it happened, for example, with my mom. She never asked me to take over certain responsibilities, but I just felt that I would need to, or I would need to support her in certain ways. And having this very honest conversation around, oh, the only thing that I want you to do is actually trust me so much that I can take care of myself. This was one sentence that I told her when I was founding my own business. You know, mom, like, I know you have worries, but I need you to trust me right now and trust in my capabilities. And when I said that to her in that moment, it struck me because I was like, oh my gosh, maybe that's what you've been needing from me actually all these past years, where I thought you're not living your life, you're not taking responsibility for your own needs, but just like taking care of everybody else around you. And so I was like, oh, maybe she is doing it exactly in the way that she needs to be doing it. And I need to trust her that she's taking care of her and her life in the way that she's doing it. And so trust is such an important pillar in so many different ways. And so, yeah, this
Yeah,
is.
trusting the universe, trusting yourself, trusting others. And I'm hearing it linked too to this sense of responsibility, that knowing what's yours, I own this. This is my body. These are my emotions. These are my thoughts. And those other ones are somebody else's, and learning to kind of stay within your own realm of what's yours to do. I feel like I'm not even sure I want to say this out loud because it feels really vulnerable, looking ahead into awaken. But I've told you so many times that my purpose in life is to create communities of grace, and that's a big, it feels like a trust fall all the time, because every time I create, or we co-create a new cohort of learners in the coaching course, there's always this tension between what I'm creating and what the participants are creating, and finding my role in that, which a lot of times is stepping back and trusting others that you will learn to love each other, and you'll be very annoyed with each other plenty of times, and with me, and we're choosing to accept one another and accept and love ourselves in these groups. And so even going forward into this community launch that's happening, it feels like another trust fall, because there, in the practicality and the nitty-gritty of planning the events, there's certain pieces of it that are so easy and obvious and lucrative and make sense logically, because we're part of the International Coaching Federation, and we have our accreditation, and people are going for their credentials, and so they need these training hours and certificates and competencies and skills. And so there's like, we can do mentor coaching and do it the ICF way to do it, and we can do coaching supervision. And so some of those things are easy and obvious to put into place. And if I listen to my own energy, and I know there's tons of people who are very enthusiastic about the ICF, and which I can understand, because especially as a new coach, I just was so delighted to find this whole world of coaching. My own heart is leading me toward the community spirituality pieces. And that's where it really requires of me to trust our community and to trust the skills and the goodness and the wonder of the 100 and plus people who are already part of it, because it goes so much beyond event planning. You know, we can plan meditations, we can plan story hour, we can plan to have times in silence together, we can plan journaling activities. Like, there's all this doing that we can structure and make containers for. We can't create the universe or utopia or anything else. We can just create a container for people to be willing to show up vulnerably and courageously and tell their stories. And I can't tell anybody else's story for them, and I can't make anybody be a good listener. But we can create a space where that's the expectation, and invite people to show up that way. And so that's scary and exciting, because I know it's not anything one person can do. That's not the way it works. It's an invitation, and everyone who joins is going to join scared, because we're trusting each other that if I tell my story, you're going to hear my story. And if you tell your story, I'm going to hear your story and see you. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up, and we're going to miss each other. And that's going to be part of it too. So I can feel myself like wanting to stick to the easy part. And at the same time, I'm being called to invite the greatness and the goodness of our community to step up and be part of this growing spirit of love and courage that can only be created in community with everyone's uniqueness.
Yeah, and I think it brings us back to this trusting also uncertainty, trusting in life. But like, I think this is such an important aspect of being a leader in today's time, or becoming a leader in this new time. Because I think as more we evolve, the more complexity also arose in our world, and like things are so interconnected over this whole planet, but at the same time it makes it so difficult to foresee where are we moving. So we're sometimes navigating in the dark, not knowing what will arise, and like having the trust and the confidence to be able to manage this uncertainty is what actually brings new creations and this new magic. And it's usually in my own experience, way beyond of what we before considered would be possible, or what we were dreaming of would be the reality, would become the reality.
And
So
it's trusting, and also just talking about what you were saying earlier about being willing to let go of things when you say what you want. And I feel like that's a big part of it too, that people can choose not to be part of the awakened community. In fact, most people will. Most people don't even know about it, but even people who've been part of our community can choose to leave. And so there's always this sort of bittersweetness of keeping the doors wide open for exit as well. And I think that's such an important piece for me, partly because as I'm moving more into this state of spiritual leadership within Awaken, I'm very aware of the fact that generations of my family have gotten involved in cults. And so I'm also really, really wanting to make sure that freedom is just the foundation and the bedrock, and that you're allowed to dissent with anything you don't like. You're allowed to choose what's great for you. And that what we offer at Awaken is clear enough so that people know, I want to say yes to this, or I want to say no to this, at each step of the way. Because I think one of my fears is sometimes people start to put me up on a pedestal, or I feel like sometimes people in Awaken are like, I want to be friends with Christy. Is it okay to be friends with Christy? And I'm interested in that connection between people. I can't be friends with 100 people, 200 people personally daily. It's not possible to give everyone what they would need in a friendship. And so making those connections possible and not moving toward becoming any kind of a cult leader or put on a pedestal above anyone else, but just, I'm going to show up and be vulnerable here, and you're welcome to too, if you want to. And you'll come when it's the right time for you. If bravery and love is what you want to be about in this season, you can join. And if it's too much or not quite what you need, then to also make sure people know that you're totally free to make your own choices, and to trust that the people who really are aligned and who it's right for in whatever season are going to show up, and to trust that everything is working with the with each person's choices and uniqueness. The community will evolve in the way it's meant to, without needing to have a lot of control, but maybe clarity instead of control might be really important.
I hear what you're sharing about your fear about this, cult or what happened in your family previously. And I just want to acknowledge that fear and also share that from my perspective, you are the person that allows the most freedom and spaciousness in terms of choice. Like when there's one underlying pillar that I've learned from my coaching experience with you is, first of all, the trusting in myself and my own judgment, but then also that I always have a choice, not only who I want to be, but also where I want to be, with whom I want to be, how I want to be. Like there is so much choice in each one of those. And so, from my perspective, there is nothing you have to be scared about in that sense, because you're the. The person that is actually empowering people to step away from these kind of things, from stepping away from, oh, I should be doing this because I was taught that way, or I have to follow this because otherwise I don't belong. And leading them more to a self-empowered, self-centered state where they are aware of who they are, of who they want to be, of what values they want to live, and how to do that also in their everyday life. And so I think it might be also very helpful for our listeners to maybe touch a little bit more on the topic. What does spirituality for us at Awaken mean? Like how would you describe that?
Yeah, because first of all, thank you for saying that, because that's just really, really helpful to hear and be reminded that I do offer choice, because that's just the way things are. People do have choice, and so we might as well see reality for what it is and join it. And maybe that's also the answer to what is spirituality at Awaken. I think it has a lot to do with seeing reality and joining it. It's very practical. I don't see spirituality as only like specific times of the day or the week when you would go to a mosque or a church or a temple, although that can certainly be a big part of it. It's more of this underlying way of being in the world, that trusting in goodness and that freedom of choice and that real awareness of our connection to each other just because we're people, that we don't have to do anything or prove anything to be worthy of connection with others, but that we're alive and that's enough. I remember it was probably about 15 years ago. I was with my spiritual director, who was an elderly Catholic nun named Sister Pat, and she was lovely. She gave me this Bible passage to meditate on, which was the lilies of the field. And so the verse goes something like, "Consider the lilies of the field. They do not labor or spin, and yet even Solomon in all his glory does not have beauty such as these." And I probably got some of the words wrong, but that was the gist of it. And she had me meditating on that verse for days on end. And I thought it was the dumbest verse. Like, I just couldn't figure out, this is the most impractical, boring thing to think about. And I was lying in the grass with all these little tiny, you would call them weeds, but if you looked at them really closely, they were like perfectly exquisite orchids about the size of an ant, thousands of them that I was just lounging on. And all of a sudden, I just felt myself as the lily of the field. And I stood up and I lifted my arms overhead and just took in the sunshine. And it was such a just a filling with glory and white light. And I spent a couple days making a painting of the lily that I was. The painting wasn't particularly great, but anyway, it was an interesting exercise painting all this whiteness and all this movement towards the sunshine. And just that feeling of you are a lily of the field and you do not need to labor or spin. There's nothing that you need to do. You're just beautiful and loved because you're alive, period. And you get a very small time on this planet showing up as this conscious being who knows that they're alive and beautiful. And so does everybody else. And so I think that's the core of it. For me, at Awakened Spirituality is just knowing that you're loved and you're connected and you're part of things just because you're awake. And you're alive.
And there is so much also peace coming from what you say in terms of like you don't have to do anything, you just have to be present with what is, because that's for me also a big part of spirituality is just like being in the body, being in the lived experience. And for me, for example, spirituality, the term, or also religion, was long time something that I tried to stay away from very far, because I don't know, I didn't really feel home in church or well taken care of when some of my when my grandparents, for example, passed away, and there was not the community that I was hoping for, or at least I didn't find it in our church. And so I used nature a lot for connecting myself to my body, to everything that is around me, to feel the sense of belonging. And only recently, these more spiritual practices, like I practice yoga, for example, I practice meditation, have come into my life, and yet it's still not that this is what I would call my spirituality, because this is just a means for me to really arrive into the present moment and to be aware with what is inside of me, but also around me. And yeah, I think everybody has a slightly different term of what spirituality is for them or how they embody it in their life. And at the same time, I feel, wait, what did I want to say? Like the core of it for me is that we are souls having a human experience. So we are meant to be here right now, and we are meant to experience life in all of its juiciness, but also all like in all the emotions, in all different shades. And I think that's also a big part of spirituality for me, to really be open and trusting that everything ultimately will be fine, and that I will learn the lessons from whatever happens to me that I need to learn, because I'm here as a soul and I chose this human experience to grow and to evolve. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love the word awaken too. When I first started coaching, people used to tell me, I feel like I just woke up. And that's true for me too. I think I spent lots and lot, huge chunks of my time in a very dissociated state because of a lot of trauma. And it was just easier to be in a book or do work or not really be fully alive. And it's because of some of those experiences, like the lily of the field and other ones, that I learned it's okay to be awake. It's okay to be fully aware that I am in my body and I am, this emotion is rushing through me, whichever one it is. And they're all there on a daily basis, but it's okay to be there for them and to be fully awake for the full catastrophe living, as Jon Kabat-Zinn calls it. We're just alive for it all and willing to experience it all, and that's what we want to hear from each other when we tell our stories. We want to hear, you are awake for that grief or that joy or that anger or that resentment or whatever it was, but you were there for it.
Yeah, and it's a process. It's a process of like stripping away these layers of protection, these layers of fears, of different emotions like anger, also, or sadness. And that's what's needed to get to the core of then finding more and more trust in yourself with every layer that you peel off. And then this layer of new trust allowing you to go even deeper and feel even more intense feelings. And also, as you, at least it's my own experience, as you learn to trust yourself more and more, also seeing how your body is able to trust you more and more, and bringing things to your conscious awareness from the unconscious that you were not able to hold before.
And that's why we need each other. I mean, I was with my somatic coach yesterday, and it was amazing. There is just something about really fully inhabiting your body that is deeply spiritual and deeply connecting. And maybe some people can get there on their own, like just being on a mountaintop alone, meditating or something. But for me, I find being with someone else is an enormous help. And so, just even in my somatic work yesterday, I was with my coach Jackie, and I ended up picking up this pretty heavy metal giant sword that's sitting in this room that I'm in, and swinging it around in a circle and just feeling the power of the strength in my arms and the ability to set boundaries and the ability to feel anger when anger is warranted. And that's spiritual too. There's something about being with Jackie that made that possible in a way that wouldn't have been by myself. So being alive, being connected, being trusting in the self and the body, trusting that things are moving, that the energy is moving among us, the spirit is here, and that we can love each other.
Yeah, and I think also what you say that some, at least that's also my experience and also what they mentioned in my training as a somatic therapist, is that some of our traumas, they have been experienced in relationship. So while you were with somebody, so that's why it's also in relationship that we can then heal them and show our nervous system, show our body. This experience was in the past, and you had to go through it, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what learnings you drew out of it. But in any case, they can be relearned, reprogrammed by being in relationship, by bringing them up again, feeling through them, and being held throughout the experience. So it's actually a very important part of healing to be holding one another, to be triggering one another. And to move through, even though there's so much discomfort coming also with it. Yeah, so that's why
I
it comes to
agree, and
me.
there's something about your coach being able to respond with all the fullness of emotions too. Like a friend of mine, coaching buddy Fran, is doing a master's degree on AI coaching and was interviewing me on whether I thought there was a threat of AI taking over coaching. And I'm sure plenty of people will go get very skillful questions asked by the chat bots, and they can do the skills probably better than a trained coach. You can train a bot how to ask a very open, forward-looking, provocative, awareness-building question. But that's not the point. It's this: can we breathe together and blink together and lean our heads together and go together? And there's something about being people, being part of nature, being connected through a true heart connection. That is what we're all looking for. And none of us is going to find that from a bot. I can tell you what I've done with my I had two coaching sessions yesterday, actually. Somatic coaching and a strengths coach. I was with Stacy Crawford, who's an Awaken grad. She did a wonderful coaching experience with me, and we did use our bodies, and it was based on a trusting relationship we have together. And that's what we're looking for, is that connection with people. And it is very healing to know, oh, I'm allowed to be myself and be seen and loved and free all at the same time.
Beautiful. I think that's a very good note to end on for our conversation today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eve.
And thank you to everyone who's listening to our conversation today.